I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Does it feel good to be back?
It does. Feels great to be back.
You really like being back?
I have not taken 5 consecutive days off since the last cruise that we went on back in 2018. I like to work. I mean, and this isn't really a job. I mean, we get paid and we get compensated very nicely by this great organization, and we're extremely appreciative of that. But we're not digging ditches here. We're not.
Yeah, it's a very nice job to have.
Those dudes out there that are, working and, reinstalling a roof in 100-degree weather, that's work. Mm-hmm. What we do is not work.
Mm-mm. It's not, man. This is an incredible job to have. And it's nice to come back to.
That's the kind of job you need a vacation from. This job, you don't need to take long vacations.
The good news is the three of us will be taking any vacation anytime soon as we get ready for.
We've maxed it all out. We're done.
So all three of us, we're here to stay.
Locked and loaded. Ready to go.
We've all got it out of our system.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Am I right, Lloyd? Am I right?
You're right. You're right, Hans.
Okay.
Don't need any. I'm going to be taking any. Used all of it. I'm maxed out.
I know, Lloyd, I know that you needed to take some time to get ready for this lofty football season to prepare yourself.
Okay. Oh, man. So, I really got to take some time off for football.
Got to prepare myself.
What are you doing? I'm sorry. Okay, well.
Nothing new, nothing different.
Not talking to you, Lloyd. Sorry. Anyway.
Yeah, I know where you're going. You meant to say basketball.
Are we back on the air? I guess
wait
we are.
Second,
we're on
wait,
air.
Wait.
I thought we were in commercial.
Are you taking time?
Yeah, actually. Oh. I'm going to leave tomorrow, actually.
I feel like you were just gone, though.
It feels that way. You'd be wrong, but it does feel that way.
Where are you going, Lloyd?
You know what? We're going to keep it kind of cool. We're going to actually Lava Hot Springs.
Oh.
Yeah, in your guys' parts.
Isn't that where your family has a cabin?
No, it's about an hour and a half away.
Oh. So you're going to stay at the cabin?
No, nope. It's actually not my family's time is in September, so I'll be going again then.
Taking
another vacation. Yep.
In September.
Hey, I'm going to be taking lots of time here coming up very soon.
Hey, Scotty, some sad news while you were gone. Olivia Newton-John.
I wanted to get your thoughts on that. I could feel your heart breaking.
Heartbroken. She was one of the greats. And I saw that Marie Osmond put out a great tribute. Did you know that they were best friends?
Really?
Yeah. Olivia Newton-John and Marie Osmond, best friends.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Did Marie say that today?
It was a social media post yesterday.
Okay.
And I read through it. I near tears in my eyes because both of them are
it was electrifying.
Fantastic entertainers. It's electrifying. We did play. It was a full day yesterday of Olivia Newton-John on air.
I honestly love that. That's great.
Fitting.
Yeah.
You loved Olivia Newton-John.
It's just a little bit before our time, though.
Whip It? Was she Whip It?
Bum, 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 bum. Whip It.
Yeah.
Was she Whip It?
Whip It good.
No, I don't think so.
That's Devo.
Well, she had something that was like in a...
Let's Get Physical.
Ah, that's it.
Same
concept.
That and Devo, or that and Whip It, yeah.
Similar concepts. But Olivia Newton-John passed away at the age of 73 yesterday.
John Travolta, he's still with us, right?
Yep.
Okay.
He's still doing
barely.
I know that they stayed close over the years, though.
I'm sure. All right, so you had a chance to chat with Blake Anderson yesterday.
I did.
The head coach at Utah State. And now that they're a couple weeks into camp, a lot of eyes on Logan Bonner. Will he be ready to go for the start of the season? He gave you an update on that.
We're being smart with him. He's still only in that 7 to 8 month kind of recovery. If he was playing another position, we would probably even have to limit him more. But with the brace on and just how well he's done in his rehab, he's doing very, very well. I mean, his first day out, he was like 12 of 12, 4 touchdowns. And so you felt like he was comfortable in the pocket. He's throwing the ball well. When we held up the other day, he put the ball where it needed to go. He's not making that young, kind of careless mistake. He's protected the ball extremely well. I'm not sure he's even had a turnover through fall camp at this point, which is huge. He's checking the ball down, throwing it away. I mean, we're not ready to just take off and let him run, and we are limiting his reps. But at the rate he's going without some type of setback, we feel really, really comfortable that he's ready to take the first snap and really play full speed come UConn in 3 weeks. And that's saying a lot considering when he got hurt and just how hard he's worked in the offseason.
Hmm.
When you bang up a knee, there's no worse time for that to happen than late December in a bowl game, which is what happened. Mm-hmm. And we don't know the extent of that injury. They've been pretty quiet in how bad that injury was. But if you read between the lines, it was one of those that probably has that 8 to 10 month recovery process to it.
Okay.
And so that's put him right into where he's at right now. And
knowing the knee, there's that could be a few things.
Yes. I mean, I think we can all assume the three little letters involved with that.
So a couple of thoughts on this. It sounds like he's going to be ready for UConn, and that's good. And I'd play him against UConn. And I'd go in and do everything I could to get a win against UConn. I don't know if I'd play him against Alabama on the road.
So let me throw this out at you. And again, this is me just – and again, a lot of people are going to hear this. They're going to think, well, you do play-by-play for Utah State. I do not have inside information on this. I do not. But I'm looking at it. If he's not even reasonably close – I mean, if he's not – I don't think he'll ever be 100% going into the season. Coming off an injury, that's just a lot to expect. But you're going to beat UConn with or without Logan Bonner, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I know UConn last year was 1-11.
Yeah.
They were not a good team.
No, no.
And they've gone independent, I think.
It's a real bad situation. Our buddy Jim Mora is the coach now, Jim Mora Jr.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Now I got to double check.
Jim Mora Jr. took that job?
Yeah. I don't know. Everybody was like, are you really?
Is he? I wonder if he's new in that job. But I know.
Yeah,
that
no, this will be his first year.
UConn was just abysmal last year.
Yep. It's his first year.
Embarrassment.
They are an abysmal, awful, awful team. And they're coming to Logan. So that should be a W. And let's just be real talk here. With or without Logan Bonner, you're probably going to lose to Alabama.
So yeah, this is a tough one for me.
So
it's a really tough one.
So
a couple thoughts from me on this. I play him against UConn. If he's available, I play him. And I try to protect him, but I play him.
Yeah.
This is going to sound terrible because you're throwing somebody to the wolves. And it's going to be completely obvious. Unless you're like, oh, he got banged up against UConn and he won't be available.
Yeah.
I'm putting the Cooper Lagasse kid out there for Alabama. And that's a sad terrible thing to do or say or to think, because you kind of feel like you're throwing somebody to the wolves. But that's just where Alabama is right now. When you're going to their place, you're playing a lesser NFL team.
I mean, you could – I wouldn't say that about Tennessee. I wouldn't say that about Auburn. I wouldn't say that about Florida, who Utah's going to play.
I wouldn't even say that about LSU this year.
Yeah, like
– this is a different caliber, and it's just a different game. And this is really sad, but I would probably take three or four of my guys – after UConn, to just see where, like, monitor where everybody is, and I'd say, Logan, let's get you an extra week. Logan Bonner, let's get you an extra week and get you ready for Weber State. Because these are two really nice cleanup games between UConn and Weber State to get you ready for UNLV and start into conference play before you take on your rival. And by the way, I want everything on the ready for my first conference opponent in UNLV. And then I want everything geared up and ready for my last shot at BYU.
Yeah, because BYU's not hopping on that schedule anytime soon.
No.
This might be the last time Utah State and BYU play in decades, honestly.
And BYU's going to be loaded, and that's at Lavelle Edwards Stadium, and it's going to be a very difficult game. But when you got a guy like Logan Bonner who can sit there and really deal, and a defense that will rush three, probably drop eight against him, probably try to throw some ghosts out there, might try to rush him, might be able to rush him. You saw the stats coming out of the scrimmage.
Yeah.
17 sacks they gave up in that scrimmage. Yeah. Was it 17 or 20?
Well, I think the Nevada guy had five or six all by himself.
Yeah.
Now, granted, those sacks are a little liberal. Anytime you get by them, they blow the whistle and call it a sack.
Yeah.
But still, they're in the vicinity.
Vaughn's had four or five. Matuapuaka had two or three.
Up the middle.
Up the middle.
Oof.
So I have some concerns with their ability to keep BYU at the line of scrimmage. BYU might just bring it. It might just come, depending on where their offensive line is at that point. But if Logan's getting rid of the ball and you get your guys into routes, who knows? I'm just gearing up for UNLV to make sure I start things strong in Mountain West Conference play. I'm going to try to get that win against my rival, and then I'm off and running with the Air Force.
Because that's ultimately what matters. Is what you do in conference. That BYU game is going to matter for Utah State in a big way. You want them healthy for that. You want them certainly healthy against UNLV, a conference game before. But I could see, and again, this is just me. I could see, look, I'm talking on behalf of you're a Utah State fan. If you're going to repeat as a Mountain West Conference champs, and that's ultimately what your goal is it in your best interest for Logan Bonner to play against Alabama?
No. No, but is it fair to say to Cooper Laga, hey, the one game you're going to start is Alabama?
Yeah. It's tough.
That's not fair to him.
And by the way, you say that to Cooper, Cooper's like, all right, let's go.
Oh, for sure.
Let's go. And
if
you tell Logan Bonner we're sitting you against Alabama, Logan's going to lose his mind and be like, on this stage, no way. Yeah, I'm going.
You're
going
to have to force him.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to force him to be quiet, because if somebody comes to him and says, hey,
somebody that's got a weekly radio show with him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why'd you miss the Alabama game? They told me to. Oh, really? Because I don't think you can say that.
No.
If he's available, he's got to go out there and play. But I don't think that's the best interest of that team, and I don't think that's the best interest for him. Where he's coming off this surgery and he's rushed it back, or whatever this knee complication was, he's rushed it back and... Coach Anderson was talking about how they've done everything they can to take it as easy as they can, and then they put him on the field against Alabama.
Yeah.
2 weeks into the season.
Now, look, if Logan Bonner's 100% for week one, you roll with him and you go. But to me, my goal is win a conference championship. If he's 85%, even 90%, I might consider that. Heck, I might consider just... to be on the safe side, to avoid the bad optics of playing him against UConn and then sitting him against Alabama, bringing him back for the Weber State game. There's your tune-up game before UNLV.
Like you said, though, you can't convince that kid.
No, that dude. I can say this with 100% information behind it. What you saw that guy go through last season and the pain he was going through and the amount of times he got knocked down and beat up, the felt like 12 sacks against Colorado State, the everybody saw the beating he took against BYU, and that dude was in was keeping that thing together with duct tape and baling twine at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Like, he took a ton of damage to that body.
They've got to find a way to secure that offensive line. It's too porous. That many sacks in that scrimmage, it had me nervous.
Yeah. And you lost a really good one in Quazi White, who will not be back with the team. He ran into some pretty significant legal issues that he's working through and is no longer with the team.
Did they boot him, or is he just suspended?
I think he's been essentially suspended indefinitely. I do not believe he's on the roster anymore.
Well, that's tough. I know that they've got some young guys that they're trying to work into rotation, and they're doing the best they can with some of these young recruits that they've brought in. But a little bit nervous about that. You know, I would just put it in terms. Let's say this was BYU going against Alabama on the road against Alabama. So if Jaren Hall has zero injuries and BYU is where they're at right now, I say, yeah, absolutely, rock and roll. If Jaren Hall is coming back from a significant injury that he's rushed back from, I would be saying the same thing about Jaren Hall.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't put him on the field against Alabama, because later in the year, you've got Baylor, you've got Notre Dame, you've got a lot of teams on that schedule that you're going to want to have Jaren Hall ready for. Alabama is the only team that I'd say that about right now.
I mean, does Georgia lost all those guys to the NFL?
They had five, I think it was five defensive players in the first round.
That went in the first round. That's the kind of team you're playing against in Alabama.
Was that five defensive players?
Yep.
Or was it five players?
No, I think it was five defensive
players. I think it was five defensive players in the first round of this NFL draft. Georgia lost a lot of their ability to tell. I wouldn't say it about Georgia.
Nope.
I'd say put Jaren out there. Do not call a draw. Don't let him keep on any type of option. And everything's a three-step and release. Until you feel comfortable that you can keep Georgia at bay, because I do think BYU's offensive line, and that's another thing that I'd take into account. BYU's offensive line, probably one of the top five offensive lines in the country. So you'd feel better about putting them in front, where Utah State is still trying to figure out their offensive front. But even then, I'd be like, why risk Jaren? You're not going to beat Alabama in Alabama. It's not going to happen. You could, and I know that I'm going to get people that psych that Oklahoma team and Max Hall beating them to open up the season. That was an improbable victory. That was an incredible moment for BYU fans and incredibly inspiring for a guy like Max Hall.
Yeah.
And to be able to do what he did. But this Alabama team would beat that Oklahoma team probably by 24.
Easy.
So,
and Alabama's always good, but when you hear the reports that this might be the best Alabama team,
the best Alabama team, it really bums me out that they're on the Utah State schedule.
1.8 million.
I think you take 1.2 of that and give it to the players.
You always say that.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
You got all these, you know, fat and happy old boys that are like, yeah, 1.8, let's go. And then it's like, hey, make sure little Johnny's got his chin strap buckled up tight. Hey, you know, we could take 1,500 of that and get them custom-made mouthpieces that are going to help for the contact they're going to take to their chin. Let's do that. Let's get them custom-made mouthpieces to help them take the blows that they're going to absorb from these Alabama players. And then you're handing out the custom mouthpieces to the kids, like, here you go, kids. It's a special year for you. And go enjoy that game. In the meantime, you got the $1.8 million that you're sliding into your pockets. And, you know, I know that they're doing great things. I see the facilities up there.
Yeah.
Anybody that hasn't been up to Logan in a bit to go see the facilities, go see them. They're beautiful. And they are putting it back into the facilities. And I think they're trying to put it back into the program. But the players should be able to distribute some of that
money. Walk off that field and there's your administrators with little manila envelopes, each with a, you know, $1,500. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
$1,500, $1,800, depending on how hard of a game it was. Like, if you lost by 54 and 12 guys were injured, it's like, here's $3,500. Like, because, man, that's just not right.
No. That, there's going to be a bigger story in all of this, too, when we, whatever this landscape, whatever the new world of college football looks like in 5 to 10 years, will these games even exist? Because I got to – Greg Sankey's pulling all the strings about this new college football world we're living in and where and it's getting really, really draconian where, like, if you don't have money, you don't get to be part of anything. Like, they're talking about removing automatic qualifiers from the NCAA basketball tournament. So Weber State goes and wins the Big Sky. Weber State might not be in the NCAA tournament, which I think is really – now you're just being spiteful. And – but that's on the table. And – but if you separate yourself, if Nick Saban and this – and these, you know, P5 or P4, whatever it is now, and they're like, no, we're going to completely form our own thing and we're going to leave all these other teams behind, but they still like to play those teams. Because they like the tune-ups, and they like the to fill those schedules with games that they feel really confident that they're going to win and cut those big checks. Are you going to remove all those from your schedule, too?
If you're being governed by a separate entity, you probably have to.
I would think so.
Because I don't know of any college or professional league that takes two governed bodies and puts them – maybe they're soccer clubs that I don't know a lot about.
There's a friendly between Utah State and Alabama.
They do the friendlies that are different governed bodies or something. But in the world of college football, if they do separate themselves and they have the way they do the name, image, and likeness and the way they do their transfer portal and the way they handle their incomes, you can't – I don't feel like you could find common ground to put a Utah State Aggie team – on the field against a Florida Gator team.
Yeah.
That it just, there's no common ground. There's no common management. And it just feels like that'd go away to me.
Mm. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, we announce number 19. We are in the teens for our top 60 and 60. We'll make that announcement next, right here on the Zone.
This is Unrivaled.
You guys are doing a hell of a job.
The biggest question on my mind,
which I'm
just so afraid to say it, but
I want to hear it.
I have to say
it. Now I have to hear it.
The biggest question for Utah this year is, can Cam Rising stay healthy the entire year? That's the thing that makes me more nervous than anything. And as I've watched him play, he's a tough and rumble guy. But he's not necessarily a tough and rumble body. You know, he was a guy that it makes me so nervous him taking these shots.
That is unbelievable.
Catch Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery weekdays from 3 to 7 on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Locked On to Hans Olsen and Scotty Chin. Chin, Chin.
That's right.
Yeah.
Presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, this is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It is time to get into the teens, Hans. Our top 60 and 60. Let's see. While I was gone, let's go through the list here.
Well, there were some good players.
Ben Bywater.
Yeah, you're going to have to go back a ways.
Ben, okay. Stop it.
All right, so let's see. Late June.
Let's see.
No.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm not giving you a hard time because you know I like
Oh, yeah. Let's not give him a hard time. No.
Don't
let's
you
not
give
do
me,
it.
You're
let's
out for like the next month and a half.
Let's not do it. Nope.
I swear you just came off a four or five week bender.
I missed six shows. Ben Bywater at 25. Tyler Batty at 24. Calvin Tyler at 23. Mekhi Bernard. Don't call me Micah Bernard at 22. Devon Vele at 21. And Peyton Wilgar at 20. Those seem about right.
I think all those were kind of right there. Vele was one that felt a little bit high, but they've put so much weight into his ability to do what he needs to do. And
hard to put a 900-yard rusher in Calvin Tyler at 23.
Calvin Tyler needs to be the top 20.
I'd say I'd probably put him in the – and it's not far off. I'd say 17 to 15 range for Calvin Tyler.
He's very good. I saw
Did you think have Bywater should have been
speaking
in the 30s? Isn't that what you were thinking? Wasn't it Bywater? I think that's the one we discussed.
But didn't he leave? I mean, he had 100 tackles.
No, maybe it wasn't Bywater. Maybe it was Batty. Was it Batty?
There was one Batty.
It was one of them that we thought was being the 30s.
Batty was probably a little bit high, but they put a lot into what he does. Bywater did lead the tackle. It was 102 tackles on the team.
Led the state in tackles, I believe, right?
I think so. Yeah, because Lloyd and I were – on that day, we went through how many 100-tackle-plus guys we've even had in the state. Devin Lloyd had 108 last year, was it?
And
he was a first-round draft pick. So when you get into the hundreds, you are getting into freak category. But number 19, I just called him in a tweet. I just called him Mr. Offseason. We'll see if he could be Mr. In-Season.
Well, here we go. Number 19 in our top 60 and 60.
Here we go.
Now let's get this party started.
This is the top 60 and 60 as the zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 college football season. And now it's time for today's selection as voted on by the local sports media and you, the fan.
Another transfer makes the list of 60 as BYU hopes this next player can fill some of the large shoes at running back. After leading Cal in rushing last season, he's expected to do the same this year in Provo. At number 19 from Brigham Young University, 6'1", 235-pound running back, Chris Brooks.
Brigham Young University head coach, Kalani Sitake.
Chris Brooks, running back, very fast and physical, strong, big body, 6', 6'1", 235 pounds, can punish with his body, but can also has a speed to get out in the open and to break big ones.
This is the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. Top 60 and 60 on 97.5, 1280, The Zone.
There you go. Coming in at number 19, probably the most anticipated transfer in the state. Maybe Diabate at Utah.
Maybe Diabate, but I would say Chris Brooks. Maybe it's equal. I mean, both of them are replacing draft picks.
Yeah, that's why they're both. One's replacing Algier. One's replacing, Devin Lloyd.
And we have not heard Muhammad Diabate's name yet. So that sucker's still coming down the list.
Yep.
We know that list is out.
Yes. Spoiler, he is on the list.
He is on the list.
Yeah.
Okay, so what to say about Chris Brooks? First of all, go check out the tweets that I've just sent. Did two video reviews on him, probably a total of like 8, maybe 9 different plays. From different angles, Scotty, from blocking to receiving out of the backfield to a couple of run plays. I tried to take everything that Chris Brooks is going to need to encompass, and I put it in these film reviews for people to see. He's been most successful in catches in the flats through spring ball and early parts of fall camp. We did have Harvey Unga on yesterday, which was a blast. Man, in fact, you know, we ought to pull what Harvey Unga had to say about Chris Brooks and let people hear again from Harvey on that.
Maybe do that at 205.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that at 205. Lloyd, if you want to pull that up at some point, and we'll play it a little bit later for people. But Harvey was very complimentary of him. I've seen him in person now on the field probably four different occasions. And he always seems to be the guy that's the furthest ahead. The most angry, the most competitive, the most capable. Through spring ball, he was the thing that you leaned on. And I know that you've got a returning quarterback and you got a bunch of targets. But in spring ball, all I wanted to see was him get the ball, either in the flats off the catch or in some type of carry, because he was looking for people to hit. He's looking for his new teammates to hit. I think he was probably trying to prove a point like, hey, don't you worry. I know Tyler Allgeier's gone, but I'll take these carries. And he proved very capable through spring ball. But you and I are experienced enough to understand that spring ball is one thing, fall camp is one thing, and showing up against South Florida in your season opener could be a completely different thing. Even though he's got game experience with Cal, and I think he put up close to 1,000 yards with Cal.
Yeah.
He's got game experience and confidence there. You never know exactly what you're going to get on the field. But with all of that said, and me stepping back with some hesitation and knowing I need to see him in game time situations, his film is spectacular. And he is a universal back. And he's an every down back. You don't need a Lapine Katoa or a Jackson McChesney. You don't need any of that. This guy could take every carry. Now, Aaron Roderick is going to hand it around a little bit because he likes Lapine and he likes McChesney, and those guys can bring something, but you wouldn't need to.
I did see, and I'm assuming it probably came from your interview with him, but Aaron Roderick did mention that he loves his ability to catch out of the backfield.
Yeah, that, and Harvey talked a lot about that. And if you remember going back to spring ball, Scotty, one of the reports I came back with was he turns so quick when he catches those flat passes that if I'm an undersized nickel with flat – some type of flat zone responsibility, if I'm a defensive end with some type of flat zone responsibility or these new hybrid backs that they've got, by the time I get there and feel like I'm in position, he's caught it and he's got his shoulders turned looking to punish me.
Yeah.
So I better have a very good tackler put in position to defend that area. Otherwise, you can exploit it for 8 yards in any given second or third down for yardage.
And I think a lot of people, when you talk about running backs catching out of the backfield, I think a lot of people go, oh, they'll run screen game to him. This dude, you can run wheel routes to. You can do all kinds of stuff with him. You can motion him out of the backfield. There's a lot of things you can do to get him in your passing attack when you have that kind of skill set outside of just lobbing up a screen pass and letting him try to work his way down the field.
Yeah. Yep. There are a lot of things that you can do to force defense's hands. Then you can throw in a Mason Wake or an Isaac Rex.
Yeah.
Or you could really go a power set with Wake and Rex on the field together with Brooks that gives you three very good receiving targets.
Yeah.
As well.
You throw in Hey Mooley in there too, who can receive. Like that's Aaron Roderick is going to have a lot of fun this season with that offense, with the weapons that they've got. Chris Brooks, 19 in our top 60 in 60. Let's see here. Who's at number 18? Any kind of tease you want to give for tomorrow?
Yeah. Yes.
That's a tough one to tease and not give away.
Yeah, that's a tough one to tease, but the way I would tease that is he will lead the state in touchdowns if he stays healthy.
Ooh. He's already done it once.
Yep.
Hands and Scotty. Let's get to the good, the bad, the ugly.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on the Zone. All brought to you by Zero Res. Get those carpets cleaned. Right now, three rooms at $33 per room, and then the fourth room is yours for free. Search Zero Res online for details. Well, let's go to training camp, and I know you're not a big fan of this show, but the Detroit Lions are this year's Hard Knocks team. And that gives us an opportunity to look in on Jamal Williams, former BYU running back, current, always favorite of ours with the infamous story of the Good Samaritan that he told on the air with us from BYU Media Day 5 or 6 years ago. Well, we all look at Jamal Williams as being the comedian. Well, Jamal Williams brought the team in for a huddle, broke the huddle, and got emotional in that huddle talking about last year and his hopes for this upcoming season.
Bring it up, bring it up. Well, I'll let y'all know, man, today is the minimum of effort. Do not give up. Do not feel like you're tired. Were you tired? Think of last year and think of that f-ing record. Every time I get tired or I think I can't go no more, I think of that f-ing record. Last year wasn't it. That ain't us. We can make it. Have some heart. I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry because I care about y'all. Do your best. Let's go. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3. Lions.
There's so much emotion at this point in camp. It's so elevated. Yeah. I'll give you a couple reasons. First and foremost, you're already exhausted. You're fatigued.
Yeah.
Your body's going through things that you really couldn't even prepare for. Even when I spent 15, 18, 20, I think it was 22,000 in an off season once at the swim club in Phoenix to try to get my body ready for camp. And then you go to camp and you're like, holy cow, my hips are sore and I can't turn. Three days in, you're just hurting. So you're physically, you're run down. The other thing that's really tough is you're looking around at 100 guys. You're looking around at 95 guys right now. And you're like, you'll be gone. You'll be gone. You'll be gone. And then you're looking at yourself. Am I going to be gone? So I've got four guys that are fighting for the running back reps. And I know where my contract is. I'm expensive. Am I going to be gone? So you've got this huge emotion of who's going to make the team, who's going to be here. Now, Jamal's probably not going to be gone. Jamal is becoming a very special player in the NFL, and he's probably looking around like, I'm not even going to see these guys here in about a week and a half. These guys will be gone. 30 of them, whatever the number is, 35, 40, you know, when they start going through cuts. That's horribly emotional. Plus, you go through a long practice, which I'm sure they just got done with. So you're exhausted and emotions peaking. Because if anybody's seen this video, he's really crying. And when he breaks the huddle, he turns and you could tell he's got tears coming down his cheeks. He's that emotionally pulled into this team. It's so hard at this point in an NFL camp. And he knows, you know, the best way to keep all of us together? Like, I love my brothers. Best way to keep us all together is to win.
Win.
Yep. It's the only way to keep us all together.
Yep.
Because NFL teams start purging. You have a 5-win season, a 6-win season. They start purging. They let go of everybody, including you. So in his mind, he's like, I love this team and I love my brothers. And the way we stay together, we win. That's it. So let's win. And the way we win is we work hard. And I think he's just trying to be the leader he can be because he's a beautiful soul.
He really is.
That's the way I describe Jamal. He's a beautiful soul.
It's a good way to put it.
He is somebody that you want to be around. Scotty and I sat with him for 8 minutes and felt like that's one of the most charismatic.
Real. He's real.
Charismatic, real, loving individuals. And I want all the great things for him, but you can see the emotion just oozing from him in that video. I love those comments.
There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Well, Chris Sale's awful season got a whole lot worse. Boston Red Sox revealed on Tuesday suffered a broken wrist in a bike accident over the weekend and is now done for the year. Remember, he was nursing a finger that he sustained after taking a line drive off his hand back in July 17th. Been riding the bike on August 6th when the accident happened. The 33-year-old was diagnosed with a right distal radius fracture, and the Red Sox said he had to undergo surgery to fix the issue. He'll now miss the rest of the season, but Boston said, hey, we expect him back for spring training next year. Lloyd, it hadn't been a good run for him.
No.
I think he's pitched, what, 5 innings all year?
Yeah. Yep.
Not 5 games.
Broke that index finger.
5 innings.
What are you doing on a bike?
Oh, Mr. Jeff Kent washing his truck. You don't. You no, should probably hey, calm
I,
down.
Hey, I agree. He was an idiot too. Baseball, the weirdest injuries happen in baseball. It's a baseball thing, man. It's just crazy.
I mean, when's the last time you heard of somebody getting into a bike accident that had a missile? Oh, wait, never mind. Sorry.
Are you talking about my dad?
No.
Oh, Gordon.
Oh. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot about your dad. I shouldn't have said
that. That's the most recent.
Yeah.
My dad got in a pretty...
He's still rocking that e-bike, though, isn't he?
Funny you might ask. Just bought another one today.
Yeah.
Sits lower to the ground. So if he wrecks again, he's not falling from Sean Bradley's bike that got stolen.
Wow.
We were talking about that the other day.
Yeah.
Somebody actually stole Sean Bradley's bike out of his barn so many years ago when he was on air with us. Do you remember that?
I wasn't around.
Oh, geez. Unbelievable. But at least he's not falling high.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did just get a new e-bike. It's called a rad bike.
And he's just whipping around Eagle Mountain in that thing.
Fat tires.
Oh, is that the one that's got those really fat, fat tires?
Yeah. So it's supposed to improve the balance a bit. But we're all just kind of – and he won't slow down. He's doing 25 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour. He's just zipping around. And you're like, Dad, please, just for the sake of Mom, just slow it down. I'm going to go get a faster bike.
I love it. Good for him.
But I do wonder if they try to hide and disguise things that might have happened. Like, these things always leave me questioning. Like, he was really riding a bike. What exactly happened here? But a right
pull
distal.
A Carlos Boozer and wreck your wrist, punching a hole through the wall.
Tripping over a Louis Vuitton.
Or no, I was tripped over a bag. That's what happened. Sure.
A right distal radius fracture, which is a pretty ugly break. You have to surgically repair that break.
These are the best athletes on the planet, supposedly. Finely tuned.
Like
best
guy
athletes
Sammy
out there.
Sosa, who pulled his back by sneezing.
Like, you just don't get, when you're that kind of level of athlete, if you're a 50-year-old schlub holding on to 60 extra pounds, yeah, okay, then you might pull your back sneezing or getting off the couch. Mm-hmm. But when you're a 26-year-old, finely tuned athlete, these injuries don't happen like this. There's something else going on.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel.
All right. There's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And of course, the ugly.
While you were gone, Scotty, I was actually talking about Mekhi Becton, who was shoring up that New York Jets front line.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I saw this.
Mekhi Becton is what really was going to be one of the anchors. And Lloyd and I yesterday saw, as we were doing the show, I think, saw that Mekhi was helped off the field. And it was announced just this morning that he suffered an avulsion fracture of the right kneecap. So he's going to be seen by a surgeon tomorrow. And the coach came to the podium after practice today or before practice today and said, yeah, we're probably going to be without Mekhi Becton for the year. So Zach Wilson loses one of his anchors on that offensive line already.
Not great, Bob.
No, it's not great. The Jets just continue to. It's the Jets carousel.
Yeah, I don't know how you. You can have great management, you can have great coaching, great players, but for some reason, there's just a snake bit organization right now.
I was asking Lloyd, is there like a very well-known Jets curse that's out there?
The curse of Vinny Testaverde.
That's my quarterback. Was that with the Jets? No,
that was not.
That was
Keyshawn, wasn't it?
That was Terrell Owens, I believe.
Oh, with Vinny, but no, that wasn't Vinny who got hurt.
That's my quarterback? I thought that was Terrell Owens.
Yeah, it was Terrell Owens. Wasn't that talking about, was that Romo?
I think it was Romo.
I can't remember.
It might have been Romo, I think.
But this is a bad deal, buddy. I don't know. There's some type of curse.
Is there a Joe Namath curse that we don't know about? A Susie Colbert
scale of 1 to
curse
10.
Curse of Chad Pennington? I don't know.
Scale of 1 to 10 for interest in Zach Wilson.
For me personally?
Yeah, through the NFL season.
3?
Oh, so it's way low.
I just don't. Like, when guys leave, they leave. And they go, like, I separate my college football and my NFL.
Yeah.
And when you make that jump, I hope good things for you, all the guys that played here in state. But I'm not bam, let's go watch that Locals play.
Man, I'm
speaking of Locals and injuries, we didn't talk about your guy. You weren't here for your guy, Tim Patrick.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's a rough one. He's been playing so well in Denver.
He has.
Two ACLs in a day.
He's avoided those injuries that plagued him in college.
Yeah, with great, with subpar quarterback play, he was putting up great numbers, never dropped a ball, unlike every other wide receiver on that team. And finally, he gets a good quarterback and he tears that ACL. Felt sick for him on that.
I think the backup running back tore the ACL the same day.
Same day. Two ACLs in a day. That's great.
Great for Denver.
Yeah. All right.
Still, but they got a stacked team. So, I mean, if they don't win at all,
it's like a massive disappointment.
Major, major disappointment.
Did we have, was the Hall of Fame game last week or is it this week?
Thursday. No, it was last Thursday.
So we're officially in preseason
and
football.
If you believe Chris Collinsworth, the Raiders are going to win it all.
Chris Collinsworth's on your bandwagon, huh?
Yeah. I thought he was all over it. I was like, wow. Jeez, Chris.
Did you win?
They did. They're playing the Jaguars, though.
Oh, okay. Well. All right.
That's not saying much.
Coming up next, Whole World News. I've missed, of all the segments I've missed Whole World News the most.
It's a good one today.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. I'll start with the question. Lloyd, you wouldn't have happened to been in the Washington metro area last week, would you?
Somebody got drunk. We'll find out who next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
The Jazz have more numbers retired, I think, than 17 other teams in the NBA. So it would take something crazy at this point for Rudy Gobert to not have his jersey retired. Donovan Mitchell is a totally different story.
Yeah.
My summation, ultimately, at the end of this article, is the only question for Gobert is whether or not he has his jersey retired in Utah and Minnesota. And, you know, but Gobert could do that. Minnesota's the type of place that doesn't have a lot of jersey numbers retired. They could easily retire Rudy Gobert's number. If he goes in, plays 4 years, they make a finals, you know, he's the Hornacek that pushes them over the top. Even though he will always be viewed, I think, as the third best player on that team.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. This is Whole World News, presented by City Creek Mortgage on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our
hands. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It's time for another edition of Whole World News.
Man, this is insane. But it's brilliant, but it's terrible. And this guy is for sure going to hell. Like, I'm not real fond of judging people.
Yeah.
They're going to go to heaven to hell, but this guy's going to hell.
Feel pretty comfortable in making that assessment.
Yeah, he's going straight to hell. Okay, so I'm going to paint the picture. This young man, 11-year-old kid, he decides that, and his name's Jeremy, he decides that he gets an allowance from his parents, like, you know, $25 a month. So this little 11-year-old saves up his allowance so that he can build a little lemonade stand.
All right. Oh, geez.
So he builds this lemonade stand and uses all his allowance to buy the lemonade powders and the lemonade mixes and to build signage and to put his little lemonade stand together. Well, this man, being a little bit thirsty, by the way, this is Puget Sound, about 25 miles north of Seattle.
Yeah.
This man, feeling a little bit thirsty, decides, all right, I'm going to stop in, get myself some lemonade. So he stops by this young man's lemonade stand. He asks for the price, and the kid explains the price. Quote here is, as he worked in the sun trying to earn a little extra spending money, he was approached by the pictured suspect, and you can go check out the picture if you want to Google this story, who offered him, at that point, the $100 bill for a drink, but asked for change back. So, Scotty, this guy pulls up, has the $100 bill, hands it to the boy, and says, I want two drinks. Can I get my change? The kid gives him $85 in change. He actually has to dip into a part of his, well, in some of his earnings, but he didn't even have enough earnings from the lemonade stand, so he then had to get some of his allowance cash, and he gave this man back exactly $85. Well, at the end of the day, this little boy was really excited because he had $100. So he took the $100 bill.
Oh, no.
He took the $100 bill to a local gas station and tried to change the $100 bill in. It was a counterfeit.
No. No, 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 no.
This guy handed an 11-year-old boy who'd been saving his allowance and had a good business plan a fake $100 bill and then took his $85 of cash and ran. He's going to hell.
Yeah.
I don't like to judge, but he's going to hell.
No, there's a special place for a guy like that.
And I don't like that you asked where I was last weekend. I would never.
Well, I was just joking.
Not going to lie. I was in that Seattle area.
That was just Josh. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
That is the worst, one of the worst stories I've ever heard.
I do notice. I see you've got $85 cash in your wallet. That's interesting.
Don't have 100, that's for sure.
That's an interesting amount. Yeah, I don't have 100. It's a great business plan if you, you know, because you know that the lemonade stand's not going to check the $100 bill for the stripe.
Some kid's not holding it up to the sun and he doesn't know what to look for.
Nowadays, you can't, in a casino, you can't exchange fake money. Because if you don't have that strip, they'll see it. Same in most gas stations. Almost every gas station that you take a $100 bill to will now take that strip up. They'll do it with 50s.
Yeah. Back in the day when I was working at the Sev, they taught us how to spot counterfeit bills.
But you know who doesn't check counterfeit bills?
8-year-old lemonade stand.
Little guys that took their little life savings and
tried
to put it to a business.
I hope they threw up a GoFundMe and this kid just got all kinds of money coming his way.
Bless his heart. This little guy takes his $100 bill to the gas station.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And he's so excited to get his lemon heads. He wants his Boston baked beans and his lemon heads.
I don't think kids eat those these days.
That's all we ate.
I never had the Boston. The Boston baked beans were gross.
Oh, they were gross. But if they were around, I'd mow them. If they were around, I'd take them down.
You know, there was a candy bar they were selling in this when we were in Canada. It's called a Wonder Bar. That was the best damn candy bar I've ever had in my life.
German?
No. Well, maybe. I don't know.
Hey, look, I love my totem pole, but I sure would have loved a Wonder Bar, too. That sounds great. What's the mix on this bar?
Hold on. Let's see. It's made by Cadbury. Shell of chewy toffee coated in creamy milk chocolate with peanut butter on the inside.
Toffee, chocolate,
peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
Yep, that was it right there.
Yes, I will take two. Peanut butter, light Rice Krisps, and chewy caramel all smothered in a rich, creamy milk chocolate. All from Canada. You couldn't bring any of those back, huh? They confiscated them.
Well,
but they were 10 apiece.
I only got one, and it didn't make it.
My little Brittany Griner at the at the border with his Wonderlust.
Wonder Bar.
Or Wonder Bar. Wonderlust. I just was trying to get him back to friends. Man, I can see the Canadian bounty being like, sorry, man. We got him.
We got him.
We got the mighty Scotty G.
9 years of this guy.
You want the voice of the Aggies back? It's going to cost you.
Like, yeah, no thanks. You can keep him.
Dude, I'm not even kidding you. I'd have gone John Commando, and I'd come across the border, and I'd have got you.
Well, I didn't know how good they were until we got home. And then supposed to be for the kids, but then I like, we'll keep that one to myself.
That sounds really tasty.
It was really good, yeah.
But I couldn't scratch my back with it.
Yeah, see? There you go.
My totem pole is perfect for scratching backs. Hey, I wonder, could I leave my totem pole here so we could always see it?
You just don't want to take it home, do you?
No, I do. It's just we are in studio a lot lately.
Well, okay. This is my concern, though. If we start putting up stuff in the studio, then everybody's going to want to start putting stuff in the studio.
Yeah, is that what you want to do?
Yeah, but stuff like a totem pole that's blessed by a 14-year-old with braces, that's cool.
Yes. How about we just put it in the office?
Did you really ask the kid at the counter to bless it?
Just give me some good thoughts for it. I should have got the phone out to record it.
Oh my gosh.
I like how you mock my gift.
I did not mock
your
gift.
You mocked my gift, yeah. Because I got you both dream catchers, and they both were blessed.
Did you see the guy actually bless them?
Yes, it was an old town Santa Fe.
Wait, are you being serious? You really did have somebody bless those dream catchers?
Yes.
Because I did have somebody bless those tribal
masks. A lot
masks.
Of good it did, because a lot of players got hurt in that game at
bless
LSU.
Bless it with COVID.
Didn't bless that with COVID. It may have carried COVID, but I didn't ask for that curse on that.
All right. Hands of Scotty. By the way, if you're looking for investment opportunities, you get yourself on an NFL team, you're going to make a lot of money. We'll tell you, Broncos sale just went through. $4.6 million, and we'll tell you some of the other sales of teams coming up next and just how crazy those numbers are getting. Coming up next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be right back.